but we have thoroughly been blessed and enjoyed our time with you. Thank you for everything. John and Lisa, thank you for your hospitality at your guest house. Where are you? I don't see that. Oh, way over there. Praise the Lord. Thanks again. Yes. And all of you, your love and your hospitality. Naomi and I have really enjoyed our time with you. You know, the Bible talks about water. He that waters gets water. Proverbs says that. I received a lot of water in your hearts of seeking the Lord. And I thank you for that. I hope you got as much from the watering that we did. I fear we didn't, that I got from you. But thank you. We're grateful. As I was seeking the Lord for what to bring on this grand finale, if you would want to call that, the course the Lord took me to the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call it, for the sake of the message, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But we have been here and there again and again getting to this living water. Title of the message tonight, this afternoon, is Living Water. And would be best if that would be titled The Fullness of the Holy Spirit. Open your Bibles to John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. The biblical setting here is that Jesus has gone to Jerusalem for the special occasion of the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. This was a very important Jewish feast that every male over 21 years of age was needed to attend. And Jesus is here at Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. Let us stand to read our text, John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." It appears to me like the Apostle John then adds this commentary, verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive," or that word receive is the idea of grasp a hold of by faith. "For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified when this text took place." Going to cease reading there. God our Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thirsty tonight. We are coming to hear from you, to drink deeply from the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been drinking night after night for a whole week, but Lord, you have more for us. Lord, it's now the day after, days after, years after, you have died for us. You took your sin for us. Paid the wages of sin, which is death. You paid it in full. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you were buried. And you rose again on the third day. And you were glorified. And you have poured out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that it's available to the fullness, to the max, to do your work, to be all that we are called to be in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I pray you would come now, even now, and blow upon us with your Spirit. Lord, stand with your servant in the pulpit of God, for I know without your anointing I can do nothing. So help yourself to your servant and your people as we bow our hearts and surrender to you. Meet with us just one more time, Lord, here this afternoon. Would you please, Lord? Don't pass us by. We don't know all is vain unless the Holy One comes down. So come down and blow upon us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Living water and the Holy Spirit. The other evening, we already heard what Jesus said there to the Samaritan woman. If any man drink of this water that I will give him, he will never thirst again. And it shall be like a well or a fountain, an artesian well that just springs up and splashes out. Jesus was talking there to the Samaritan woman about the Holy Spirit. This morning, Jehu, I suggest to you that he was anointed to do the work of God. They would use a whole cow horn full of oil. David, it says, was anointed by the prophet Samuel with a whole horn of oil. That's a cow horn oil. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And David was a man after God's own heart, to do all of his will. Everything you heard, to do all of his will. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need an anointing. You need the Holy Spirit. You can't. It's not something that you do by just pulling yourself up by your own black bootstraps. No. You need the anointing to walk as Jesus walked. You need the anointing be filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ that you'll never thirst again. So much so that the woman, she forgot her water pot. She was anointed with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back to our text, John chapter 7. John, writing the Gospel of John, already three times alone in chapter 1 as he begins writing, speaks about the Holy Spirit. But this is the first time that Jesus, here in John 7, speaks about for all born again believers can receive the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. We already know, as we're Bible students, we already know the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three are one. Now, I could go for hours, but I will not hold you that long. This is one of our most requested subjects in our MTM teaching conferences. There's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit. But before we delve into all of that, let us give you an illustration of what this looks like. I'm a visual person, and most of us are. What we have here is a water wheel. A water wheel has inflow, and as it flows in and the wheel gets full, it turns and it produces power as the water flows out. Now, what we have here, Jesus is saying, if any man thirst, there's a key, we must be thirsty. Most of us don't have any idea what thirst is like. Come with me to the tropics where we lived for all total close to 30 years. Very, 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 very warm. It's not hot. It's only one place it's going to be hot. And I pray to the Lord Jesus that none of you go there because you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you follow Him and He saves you. You're not saved. Warning. It's hot there. The fire is not quenched. You don't want to go there. Get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, get saved. But a drink of water is a very precious commodity. That's why Jesus stopped at the well at Sychar, where He later then met the Samaritan woman. He was thirsty. He needed water. And it is life-giving water. Most of us, we don't ever get that thirst because, well, we carry it along in our bottles and we just walk over to the tap and turn on the tap and we'll probably have the tap on the fridge and it even makes it cold. Boy, what convenience. We're spoiled. Anyhow, Jesus here uses the drink of water as a life-giving water. And He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So the drink, it goes in as a drink, and it fills us, and the wheel begins to turn, and it produces the Spirit of power. And then as it turns in power, it flows out. But it doesn't flow out as a spritz or a drink. It flows out as a river. This is a beautiful picture of what the Holy Spirit does. It goes in as a drink, and then He is a power source. He's an amplifier. Those people back there are running the sound system. It amplifies. It magnifies. It glorifies. It increases from a drink to a river that is so full, that's so anointed, if you would, it can't hold it in. And it comes out like a river. Now, think about a river. It flows out like a river of life. Thus says the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think with me. Let's go up here, Quebec region. Let's walk along the St. Lawrence. A mighty river. Is that a river? I don't even know. Is it a river? Yeah. Do you got to walk up to a river and say, come on, river. Flow. Go. Move. Take your life downstream. Preach to it. Do you have to do that? No. Of course not. It's a river. It's a power source. We could go to the Niagara River too, Niagara Falls. It's a power source to bring blessing and life unto others. And bringing this morning's message in, fathers, start at home with your family. Yes. Now, real quickly, there's two things will stop the anointing. I suggest to you this is an illustration of the anointing. Inflow, outflow. Call it whatever you want to. Call it a blessing. Call it an anointing. Call it the power of the Holy Spirit. Call it a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Call it whatever you want. You got to have it. In Jesus' name, you got to have it if you're going to be a victorious, successful Christian for God's honor and glory. And to be a blessing and be a life giver unto others as Joseph was, young people. You got to have it. Without it, Jesus told us in John 15, you can do nothing. Oh, you can do many things. You can go to church and you can make everything look right on the outside and you can practice all the kind of religiosity you want to, but you can't do anything that's going to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus
and God the Father in kingdom building. You can't do anything. You got to have it.
Two things will stop this anointing. Number one, no inflow. You're not drinking. And I'd like to suggest this is the word of life. This is the drink. The word became flesh and dwelled among us in grace and truth. Know your Bibles. Get into the word of God. Memorize the scripture. Practice the scripture. Live the scripture. Treasure the scripture. Make it your own and live it out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am concerned of the dearth amongst our people of the word of God. Talk about my Mennonite people. Your Mennonite people. They're so engaged and intensely engaged in other things, the word of God. They're not drinking. We're not drinking as we ought to be, perhaps. Then there's an inflow. So if there's no inflow, no drinking, no practicing what Jesus taught, no living it, no inflow, that'll stop the power. The second thing, brothers and sisters, that will stop the power is, yes, there's inflow. There's been a lot of inflow at this meeting, and I praise God for it. But that means you're responsible for a river of outflow. The second thing that will stop this wheel is no outflow. What happens? We get so fat and full, complacent, and we're satisfied. We're dead, we die. Because there's no outflow, no power. Take the challenge, brothers and sisters. How are we doing? Now, why did Jesus use water here to introduce the ministry of the Holy Spirit quite some time before he was glorified? Let me tell you why. It's because of the imagery that was connected to the Feast of Tabernacles. It had a lot to do with water. For 7 straight days, they would be gathered in the temple in worshiping, and the priest would take a golden pitcher, a water pitcher, empty, and he would go down to the Pool of Siloam, and that would mean down off the Temple Mount, down to the pool. He would fill the pitcher of water, and the worshipers would follow him. And as they would travel back up to the temple, the priest and the people would be quoting Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. What they were reminding God is that, God the Father, you promised that you're going to open the well of salvation, water, so that we can with joy draw out of that well. 7 days straight, the priests, they would do this. But now, here, this day, here in John chapter 7, the last great day of this great Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would do something different. The priest would again take the empty golden pitcher and travel all the way down to the Pool of Siloam and fill it up with water and begin the journey back up the ascend to the Temple Mount to pour it on the altar. But this time they would together quote Isaiah 44:3 on the 7th day. It's different now. Here's the verse. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, but not just a little water, and floods upon the dry ground or the dry, empty heart. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, thy children, and thy children's children, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Do you see how the messages are all connecting now? This morning's message, blessing on the offspring. Now, this last day, at the very last moment of this great festivity, Jesus stood and he said this. Says he cried. He raised his voice. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. What scriptures? I just quoted them. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus is saying, I am the well of salvation. Jesus is saying, I am the one that will pour water on dry ground. I am he. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I am the promised one of salvation. For whosoever will come unto me and drink. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody knew that day what Jesus was saying. But they knew their scriptures. This is the anointing of Jesus Christ. And we need it today. The church needs it. Now, in the Old Testament, we find glimpses of the Holy Spirit. Yes. We already, the youth, Saturday night, we heard about Joseph. The Spirit was in Joseph. Now, for the sake of the message, and also considering that Romans says that if you have not the Spirit, you're none of His. Amen. If you have not the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you're none of His. But here in John 7, he is speaking about a fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so for the sake of the message, I'm simply going to use the term fullness. Because far too many times, here's the problem. The moment a man is born again and surrenders his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives in us. Hallelujah. The Spirit of, and we have all of Him. We have all of Him. But the problem, more times than not, is He does not have all of us. There's unsurrendered territory. There's unsurrendered rooms. The moment a man is born again, you have all of him. We do not receive him piecemeal. No, we have all of him or we have none of him. But the problem is, as I said before, He does not have all of us. So, Joseph was filled with the Spirit in Genesis 41:38, Old Testament. Moses was filled with the Spirit in Exodus. Isaiah 63:12-14 tells us that. Joshua was filled with the Spirit in Numbers 27:18. Excuse the terminology, you may want to debate with me. I understand that it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him as it deals with David. He was filled with the Spirit. But I gave you the reason I'm using that terminology for the sake of the message. Gideon and others were filled with the Holy Spirit in Judges 6:34. Saul, the first king of Israel, was filled with the Spirit. David was filled with the Spirit. All these Old Testament patriarchs or characters were filled with the Spirit by assignment. Here in John chapter 7 is the first time that Jesus teaches us that all can be, all believers can be filled with the Holy Spirit. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, Jesus says, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter, that word comforter is counselor. That word comforter is helper. That's why I said Jesus had a divine appointment with the Samaritan woman at the well at Sychar, PhD, counselor, pure, holy, and divine. Hallelujah. All these messages I've been preaching, but tonight is where I was wanting to go. And so I'm summarizing a three-week teaching. Relax. We'll get done before 3 weeks, okay? In regard to the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit, I suggest to you, you can put all churches and groups into three different categories. Number one is the misinformed. The misinformed are those who have placed an overemphasis on supernatural manifestation. They focus and pursue all kinds of different, very unusual spiritual manifestations, which more often than not should not at all be attributed to the work of the Holy Spirit because it does not fit under the category of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because they are not wise and in discerning in trying the spirits according to the scriptures and our Lord Jesus Christ, they abuse and misuse and downright weird practices come forth among the Pentecostal extreme chaotic folks. I'm not speaking necessarily against the Pentecostals. I'm using that just as a reference point. And this is a major attraction. These extreme, weird manifestations amongst nominal Christianity, because they're looking for proof that they have the Holy Spirit. And they open themselves up to demonic revelations. Yes. And I understand that this frightens many of us. And we swing the pendulum over on the other side, and we don't hardly even preach about it. We don't teach about it, the Holy Spirit. And it's not an it, by the way. That was wrong. He's a person. It's not an it. We don't preach him, and we don't teach him enough. And our people are uninformed. And that's the second category, the uninformed. We are swinging the pendulum on the other side, and we draw back. For fear, maybe. The uninformed are those that have not been exposed or taught an in-depth teaching of the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit from the scriptures and the life of Jesus. And folks may even attend a church where the Holy Spirit is rarely taught as the third part of the Trinity. He's alluded to, yeah. He's touched on, he's alluded to. And there may even be such a negligent in teaching that there are those that would teach, and I grew up with this, that the manifestations of the work of the Holy Spirit that you see in the book of Acts was only for a certain period of time, the apostolic age, and after that apostolic age, those manifestations ceased. And they're no longer for today. Miraculous healings. On and on I could vote. These folks really do not know what to believe, the uninformed, about the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, warnings. The enemy doesn't care which pendulum side we swing on. Whether we swing the pendulum, those that swing the pendulum way over here, and misinformed, and there's all kinds of craziness, and I tell you, I'm not even going to go there. Or we swing the pendulum all the way over here in fear of the Holy Spirit, and we do no teaching. Both of them are a ditch. They're both a ditch. They're both wrong. We need to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. You know what a ditch is, don't you? Sure you know what a ditch is. It's not good. It's a coffin with both ends kicked out. It's a death snare. Yes. So the third category, which I trust we are here tonight. I really do believe this. We want to be the well-informed, which I truly hope we would all strive to be. The well-informed from the scriptures and from the life of Jesus, what he lived. A well-balanced biblical understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the absence of the overemphasis and an absence of the underemphasis. Amen? And that's my goal tonight, to help us understand more fully the work of the Holy Spirit and how I can today be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's move on. There are many shadows of the work of the Holy Spirit in the Scripture, many of them in the Old Testament as well as into the New. Wind, you heard me pray about the wind. Wind in both the Old and the New. Wind in Old and New Testament as well as breath are the same word. They're always referring to the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Wind. We know after the Jesus spoke to the Nicodemus, he said, the wind bloweth wherever it listeth. And this spoke he of the Spirit. Wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the evidence of the wind. Amen? Yeah, can't see it, but you can see the evidence of it. That's in John 3:8. Fire. Holy Ghost fire. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but the one coming after me, whose shoe latches, I'm not worthy to unlatch. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. Come with me into the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. What do we have manifesting itself? We have the day of Pentecost was fully come. The Holy Ghost blew into the upper room like a mighty rushing wind. Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The other manifestation was fire, right? And there on all of them sat cloven tongues of fire. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And they went out of that upper room filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Yes, they spoke in a language they had never learned, I know, but they were hurling forth the wonderful works of God. What's the wonderful works of God? Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of all men. Hallelujah. All nations, all people. Brothers and sisters, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out of that upper room and they turned their world upside down for Jesus Christ. And when the world's upside down for Jesus Christ, hallelujah, it's right side up. Amen. A dove, when Jesus was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a dove. That's a picture of I'm at peace with God and at peace with my fellow man. Bread, also, that's in Luke chapter 11, 5 through 13. There's another. I could go on all of these, but I don't have time. I'm not going to start. Oil. This morning, Jehu, more than likely it was oil. David, it was oil. The name, our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it really mean? Lord means he's my master. Jesus means Redeemer and Savior. What does the name Christ mean? It means the anointed one.
The name Christ means the anointed one. He is my Lord, my Master. He is my Savior. And He is my anointed one. He wants to anoint you and I the same way He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. So we can bring honor and glory to Him through the church and in our ministries. Jesus said, back to that water wheel, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, Acts 1:8, and ye shall be a witness for me beginning at Jerusalem. Jerusalem is your home. Jehu and Jonadab message. That's your home. Your family. And then from there to Judea, be a witness. That's further out. That's neighboring villages. All right, I got to move on. And the third one is the fourth one, actually the sixth one up there, it's water. That's the one that Jesus used to introduce the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on. Let's go. As we come to this end of this meeting, you may be asking, God, what is your will for me going from here? Ephesians 5. Let's go there. Ephesians 5. Listen to the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 5, verse 16. I'm going to drop in at redeeming the time because the days we are in are evil. Well, if it's that way, it was when Paul penned this. How much more so is it today? Amen? Redeem the time. Make everything you do count for Jesus Christ. Everything you say, everything you make, speaking for Jesus Christ. The time is short. And if you're unsaved here, coming to the end of the meeting, then you're still lost. You need to redeem the moment and get saved. Redeem the time. The days are evil. We can only get saved when God draws us. And He's been drawing for a whole week now. Tonight's the last night. You have no promise of tomorrow. I tell you many stories. Redeeming the time because the days are, make them count for God's kingdom, the church in Jesus. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is for the church, for every one of us. Here it is, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is God's will for all of us, all the church, all believers, all your families, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying whatever you're filled with is going to control you. And you know that's true. You know that's true. And Jesus said when you receive this fullness of Holy Spirit power, you're going to be a witness for me. Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Be filled with the Spirit. When I was full of the farm, when I was full of that non-expedient business, that controlled me, it drove me, it mastered me. Well, that's how the Spirit of Jesus Christ is. When we're filled with Him, it will empower you, it will drive you, it will cause you to flow over with living water, like a fountain, like a river. It just bubbles out of you. You're so full, you can't hold it in. It just bubbles out of you. It's not something you have to do. It's something that you can't hold in. Jesus Christ, beginning with your family and beyond, it will control you. We know that's true with alcohol. Am I right? That's why Paul uses alcohol. Wine, we know that's true. It controls a person. And it's very unfortunate the direction it takes him. It's wrong. But in the same way, be filled with the Spirit, and it will control you and guide you and empower you to do His will in all that He has for you. Hallelujah. He'll help you. He'll walk with you. He'll counsel you. He'll help you. Hallelujah. He's our helper. We need Him. The time that remains. Right now, I can just see all of you are thinking, all right, Pastor, I got it. I got it. I got it. Just tell me how I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Where every room in my heart is surrendered and yielded to Jesus Christ and filled with Him so He can guide me and control me and guide me into all truth. I'm going to do like I did this morning with the principle of fathers turning their hearts to their children. I'm going to use a parable about a Bible story to answer that question. How can I be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings, back into the Old Testament. I'm going to begin at verse 1. I'm going to expound this chapter, 1 through 7. Here it is in the days of Elisha. Elisha had a school where he was training men how to be prophets. Well, this certain prophet, he had a family. He had a wife and he had two sons. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened, but this man, this brother, this prophet that was learning how to be a prophet, he died. And he left behind a widow woman and his two sons. And she had no breadwinner in the house to win, to bring funds home for bread and for the necessities of life. And thereby, unfortunately, she created a debt that she couldn't pay. She borrowed from creditors. And now those creditors are upset and they want to be reimbursed. They want to be paid. And so they're coming to her and they're saying, look, if you don't pay your debt, we're going to take your two sons as slaves to work for us to pay our debt, your debt. But she doesn't want to, she's already lost her husband. She doesn't want to lose her son. So she's very burdened and concerned. So she goes, she needs help. She goes to Elisha. She says, Elisha, I need help. And Elisha said unto her, verse 2, what shall I do for thee? Excuse me. What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid has not anything in the house. Comma, break. I don't have anything in my house. And she's pondering this, nothing. Elisha, I don't have anything in my house. But then she except a little vessel of oil. Now, this is not oil, but it's living water, okay? Same difference. Now, what is oil symbolic of? I can't hear you. Holy Spirit. Yeah, my hearing is compromised, I'm sorry. And with this stuff hanging on, it don't help it any. Yes, Holy Spirit. But Elisha, that can never pay my debt. So Elisha tells her what she must do. See, it's just a small oil. Elisha tells her what she must do. But before we go to the doing, She has a debt. The widow woman owed a debt she could not pay. What about you and I? Is the Church of Jesus Christ in debt as this widow woman is? I want you to ponder that. Are we in debt just like this widow woman? And I'm not talking about our sin debt. I'm talking about another debt. Let's see what Paul has to say about this. In Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Listen carefully what Paul says about the debt of the believer, the church. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul is saying, I am in debt to the civilized, to the uncivilized, to the educated, and to the uneducated. So as much as is in me, as I am ready to preach because of my debt, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul says, because I am in debt, I am ready to come to Rome to preach the gospel. I am ready to preach the gospel to the unsaved. I am ready to preach the gospel to the uncivilized, the educated. I'm ready to preach the gospel wherever the gospel has not yet been preached, he says later in this chapter, this book. Why? Because I have a debt I need to pay. Question, is that debt only for Paul? No, that debt is for it. When you name the name of Christ, when I name the name of Christ, I am in debt before God and the unreached. I am in debt to the church to share the gospel, to teach the gospel, to minister the gospel to those that need to hear that salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Paul understood that. Do I understand that? So the point is this. You and I, and again, we begin with our families at home, fathers and mothers. We begin at home with our family. We are in debt, just like this widow woman. Amen. How will she pay her debt? She doesn't have enough oil. Yes, so likewise, every believer, the church owes a debt before God unto the unreached and unsaved. We are in debt. How shall this widow woman pay her debt? How shall the believer, the church, pay their debt unto the unsaved and the unreached? Starting at home among us. The oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, as we already decided. And she almost forgot that she even had it. If you are born again and you're saved, and I choose to believe that most of you are, not all, but those of you that are not, tonight you can receive Jesus Christ and be born again. And you can even be filled all in one moment. Just surrender to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Elijah tells her what to do. Verse 3, he says to her, back to 2 Kings chapter 4. He says to her, verse 3, go throughout the village, borrow the vessels abroad
of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Remember that, empty vessels. You ought to underline that in your Bible. That's a key here, and how I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Empty vessels. Now, these would be big vessels. Come with me to any remote village in India or Nepal. The women go to the well with these big vessels. These vessels are approximately 19 to 20 liters. In gallons, 5+. Right around 5 gallons. They're huge. And these women, like the Samaritan woman, would go to the well to get their water for their family. Elisha says, "Widow woman, go out with your sons and gather many vessels and bring them into your house and shut the door and begin to pour out." That's exactly what he said. "When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons and shall pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is for. As they fill up, set them aside." So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Listen carefully. This was the little bit that she had, and it was the last that she had. She had almost forgot that she had it. Now, Elisha says, "Woman, pour that out into the..." Now, just imagine there's, I don't know how many vessels, many vessels. They're big vessels. They're down here. You can't see them, neither can I. But pour it out. So she takes that oil and she says, if I pour this out, I won't even have that. No, Elisha, I'm going to keep it to myself. It's a little bit that I have. No, not going to. That's how too many of us are. We say, I'm not going to begin pouring my life out in blessing others, speaking life into others. I don't even have it. I don't have enough. I'm just going to keep it to myself. I'm going to be selfish. The blessing that I have in Christ Jesus, talking to the church now, the saved, I'm just going to keep it. The point here is, you start speaking life into others with what you have. You already have the Spirit of Jesus Christ if you're one of His. You have it. But you need to start sharing and pouring it out. Pour out your life in serving others. Pour out your life in serving your family, fathers and mothers. Pour out your life. Pour out what you have. But she didn't keep it to herself. She said, okay, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have faith in God. We receive the Spirit by faith. Amen? Not by feeling, by faith. Pour it out. So she begins to pour out. And the oil just pours out. And she's watching this. And she's watching the vessel come. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. This is filling. Wow, this is filling. She pours out, and what does God do? He pours in. As she pours out, He pours in. Drink flows out like a river. First vessel is full. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. What a precious commodity I have right here. And she moves over to the next one. She pours out. He pours in. Second vessel full. Now she's shouting, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. She's excited. Third vessel fills up. Bible doesn't tell us how many, but eventually she keeps pouring it out and He keeps pouring it in. Remember the water with you? Remember the water with you? Mm-hmm. You drink in, you pour out. She's getting all fired up. Plenty and abundance. Finally, she says, verse 6, "And it came to pass, when all the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel." And the son, said unto her, Mama, there's not a vessel more in the village. Mama, all the vessels of the village are in the house. I don't know how many. I have asked these villagers that I travel to in India and Nepal and many places, how many vessels would there have been in a village? They say hundreds. Hundreds. And they're all full of oil. Hallelujah. Let's get a picture of this. Yes, the oil just kept coming. She went from this, a little piece of oil, a little speck of oil, if you would, to this. Boy, I got your attention. She went from an earnest of the Spirit, a down payment of the Spirit, to a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Here's what it suggests to you it looks like. She went from that to this. Hallelujah! What a precious commodity, amen? When I do this in India, they erupt with applause. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is what is available for me to pay my debt. They get all excited. We need to too, amen? What a beautiful picture. All full of oil, anointing to pay our debt before God and the unsaved. What a picture of the unfathomable abundance of the Holy Spirit. Right from the scripture. Listen to what Elisha says. Then she came, verse 7, and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. This is what Jesus is saying in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you are going to be a witness for me, beginning in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Paying your debt. Begin at home. Being a witness for him. Live the gospel. Walk like Jesus walked. Your families. Begin at home. Your home communities. In paying your debt. But he also says, go and sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children, your family, of the rest. Hallelujah. There's a great blessing when you and I have an anointing. Your family will grow. The church family will grow. The church will flow when we go and pay our debt by ministering the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to our families and beyond. Go sell the oil, the fullness of oil, and pay thy debt. The Holy Spirit fullness is for the church to evangelize the world and pay its debt. Acts 1:8. Do not keep the anointing oil for yourself, but give and bless. Share. I know sisters are thinking, what's my part? And you share your testimony, what God has done for you. Point them to Jesus and serve the needs of others. Only the remainder is for me. You see, this is where the misinformed go off base. They go off target. They think it's all about them, and they seek strange manifestations. No, it's not about me, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's about being a witness and building the church of Jesus Christ and building God's kingdom, being involved, beginning with family and beyond. And we know, as already said, Acts 2, let me just give you a few pointers in summarizing the message. What about the empty vessel? It is empty vessels that experience the fullness of God's Spirit. You empty yourself And then you surrender every room. Every room of your heart. No reservation. You don't hold back. Lord, I'm yours. I'm bought with a price. My body belongs to the Lord. My body is a member of Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body. Bring Him honor and glory. You're not your own. You surrender everything. That night that I got saved, I got up here and I was at an altar. I put the farm, I put the cows, I put the business, I put everything. I put my wife, my children, I put everything on the altar. I said, Lord, I give it all up. It's all yours, not my own. Please buy me and fill me with your spirit. And He did, as I surrendered my all. Everything. I held back nothing. But He said, thank you, son. I'll take all that. I'm going to put it on the altar. God says, you're putting it on the altar. I'm going to send the fire and consume it. That's the picture of the baptism of Holy Ghost and fire. He cleanses us of all those things He can't use. For me, they had to go on the altar. But the Lord said, there's one thing you're still holding back. I said, God, I don't know. I gave you the farm. I gave you the cows. I gave you the equipment. I gave you the business. I gave you my wife. I gave you my children. What more might you want? And God said, I want you. And I want all of you. Oh, okay, Lord. I don't care what it costs. I want all of you. Which is nothing more than the fullness of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. So I said, all right, Lord. I'm done. I give up. I give you my all. I give you my passion. I give you my gift of evangelism. You see, I was an evangelist for dairy cows. I was an evangelist for a certain color of tractor. Don't ask me what color it was. And I was an evangelist for a certain brand of, all right, I'll tell you, snow machine. Shame on me. God said, I want everything. I want your present. I want your future. I want your all. I just said, okay, Lord, empty vessel. Just like the disciples there on the day of Pentecost. There they were in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Father, which is a baptism of Holy Ghost and fire. They had forsaken their homes. They had forsaken their boats. They had forsaken their tax collecting jobs. They had forsaken their nets. Oh, nets. Do you have any idea how many nets are in the church? Oh. Professional sports. Volleyball net. Basketball net. Spike ball net. It's not funny. It's in the way. That's all right. I know I am funny. I know. You can laugh. But before God, it's not funny. Hockey nets. Oh, come on. How many nets are there? God wants our all. Empty vessel. He wants everything. Recently, I preached this and a sister came up to me. She said, you forgot a net. I know I'm not up to the tide. But what net did I forget? Internet is different. So many people are hanging on to so many things. Self. Dearly beloved, you want our all. It is the empty vessel that gets the anointing, the fullness. As we, remember what I said? We have all of Him, but He doesn't have all of us. He wants all of us. We give Him every room. Let's just say we give Him every one of, maybe this is a room. Maybe this is a room. Maybe this is a room. I don't know which one. You want all of Him? You surrender all to Him. He fills empty vessels to fullness. Amen? To go and pay our debt. Let me just say one more thing in a wisdom statement in this message. Do not seek the Holy Spirit power and the manifestations. We go off track if we do that. But rather seek to be that broken, surrendered, empty vessel. Seek the complete sacrifice. And Scripture promises us He will fill you with the Holy Ghost when we ask Him. After we have surrendered and given Him our all. Put it on the altar of sacrifice tonight. Whether it's the first time surrendering your all to come to Christ, or whether there's rooms in your heart that you're reserving to yourself for your own pleasure. Many of them are not wrong that I mentioned. Nothing wrong with playing a little hockey with your family. Of course not. But when it has more priority than to pay our debt before God and the lost, then it's wrong. Then it's wrong. It's unsurrendered territory. You see, those disciples, there they were in the upper room. They had loaded up the altar of sacrifice of their lives. And now we need to do the same. We need to put her all on the altar. And God established already in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, that the fire of God falls on a sacrifice. The fire of the Holy Spirit. It falls on a sacrifice. Come with me and Elijah up there on Mount Carmel. 450 false prophets of Baal. There they were. And they did their thing and there was no fire. So then Elijah, he rebuilt the altar of sacrifice with the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he put on the sacrifice, the wood, the bullock. And then he put a lot of water on to make sure that it's wet. Then he prayed a simple prayer. And what fell? The fire of God fell upon the sacrifice. And those 450 false prophets of Baal said, the Lord, He is God. When the fire falls on the sacrifice, my sacrifice, your sacrifice, it turns the hearts of our children and the hearts of the compromisers and the false prophets to the Lord God. We need the anointing. Seek the sacrifice. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, oh, how you long that we would come to you and load up the altar of sacrifice. Lord, I can hear the words of a dear sister not so long ago. She said, now I know why our Mennonite churches are so dry and so dead. And there's no power of the Holy Ghost because we have not put our all on the altar of sacrifice. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord, to seek that complete sacrifice, that broken, empty vessel, knowing that's the one that gets filled. We want to be filled, but Lord, we're learning that we must make the sacrifice. I hear the words of Paul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for the Lord. May we be those people, that we would come and present our all on an altar of sacrifice to be saved, to be born again, and then call upon the name of the Lord to come and save us in the name of Jesus Christ. And others, Lord, draw them unto yourself that are hanging on. They have reservations. There's rooms of their lives and that are not surrendered. They haven't given them up. Draw them unto yourself in emptiness and brokenness so that you can fill every room of our heart to fullness in our lives. To pay our debt in ministering the gospel to our families, our community, all nations. Lord, we hear your words. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth.
Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I will be. Oh, God, help us. We need your Spirit. We need your power. We need the anointing. We're coming and drinking tonight. May we load up your altar of sacrifice before you and worship you in spirit and in truth by surrendering all, so we can be filled with the anointing of your Spirit, with power and fire, to be a witness for you, beginning at home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. What's our invitation? We're going to open the altar. If you're not